Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know what I really like right now, Mike Bell?
An ice cold Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing.
You read my mind.
Playa!
Hey, man, I would love to have an ice-cold Hey, man. Of course, we're on the job, and I wouldn't do that, though.
Yeah, Matt Bryan looked at me and goes, I guess you didn't bring my beer today. I go, I know. I'm sorry. Forgot. I left it on the counter. Hey, man, the good news is our buddies, you can follow us on Twitter, at DukesofBell929, at put them up, see Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And at Oconee Brewing, by the way, follow those guys for direct information from the source. Appalachian Beverage Warehouse in Swingin' Ellijay. Brandon's Package Store, Peachtree City, Buddy's Convenience in Atlanta, Chestnut Mountain Wine over Flowery Branch. I mean, it's right up here.
Yes, sir.
Was that the dude I was talking to last week on the phone? I was going, hey, buddy, I need some of my beer. Anyway, Cork and Keg and Brazelton's just up the road. Tequila, Cork and Bottle. Anyway, I put all the new locations up. There's basically been a ton of new, they're calling them October 10 locations. So Georgia Crown and our buddies at Coney Brewing have got our Dukes and Bell Ale. By the way, on tap in over 50 bars and restaurants all over Georgia, but now in a more zillion stores.
The product is on the street. Go get it.
Hey, that makes it sound like H.
The product is on the streets. You need to go get it. All right. So thanks. Big shout out. Taylor, thank you guys. Everybody, you guys know, nothing but love for you and nothing but love for our listeners as you guys go check out the beer or enjoy more of it. And let's connect, man, when you see us out. If you do get a chance to enjoy Hey Man, we'd love to do it with you, whether it's tailgating Falcons games, United, it doesn't matter. We're going to have Hey Man at Hawks games. We're trying to get it every stinking
right.
Where.
And whenever you get your hands on it, tweet out a picture of you enjoying the goodness. We appreciate it. Speaking of goodness.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if they'll be drinking Hey Man, but they'll be drinking a lot of something, even for a 3:30 start at Tiger Stadium. LSU, we've always had this one circled on the calendar. A little air comes out of the bag or the balloon since Florida beat LSU last week. And Georgia needs all the help they can get, certainly. But can you do the things that Florida did now with more injuries on the defensive line for UGA?
It's a great question because the first thing that stood out, at least, for a lot of dog fans, when you start talking about what is the injury situation, we brought this up earlier, and Bo, I don't know if there's an update. I want to bring you into the conversation, but we now know that the D-line may be without David Marshall. We don't know if that's going to play, between now and tomorrow or Friday or the game. Mm-hmm. At some point, we're going to find out. Or maybe they keep it close to the vest, Mike, and right. We don't know until we don't see him out there. But that's something that we're watching closely. To your point, though, about LSU, and Kirby's been talking about this all week, and I want you to hear him talk about LSU's run game because, Mike, he feels like physically this is going to be the most physical team that Georgia's played as of yet. Here's right. Kirby Smart.
Obviously, they're a little bit different now. They have some signs of being the old, really physical LSU, come downhill, hit you right in the mouth. They run power, counter, lead. I mean, they do all the traditional fullback offense. But they also have the spread elements. And I think their quarterback does a tremendous job with that. He's a really good athlete. He runs the ball well. They were able to run quarterback runs with him. You can tell that from his transition from Ohio State. He's been able to run the ball. So they have more spread elements, yes, but they still have the traditional hit you in the mouth offense.
And the problem is, guys, and I think a lot of Georgia fans look, if Missouri could, bow up and run the ball against Georgia in their building, well, what is LSU going to do with better athletes? It is our dog report brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. We just talked about, man, the video coming out of the panhandle looks awful. So heaven forbid we have to deal with something like that in Metro Atlanta. But always be prepared if the power goes out, get a backup generator from Brightbox. You mentioned David Marshall, a foot injury. Kirby did say after yesterday's practice, to your point, we'll have to wait, but yep. It doesn't look good, his words. Also, DaQuan Hawkins. Muckle also out with an undisclosed injury. Devontae Wyatt, he missed the Vandy game with a leg injury. He was seen yesterday, according to Seth Emerson from The Athletic, on the side, and Justin Young, a reserve, in a black no-contact jersey. That means 7 scholarship defensive linemen available for the Dogs.
And that could be an issue. I mean, depth always plays a role, so we will see what happens there. Kirby also talking about Justin Fields playing on the road. I think, again, I've said this all year, and credit to Kirby, credit to Jim Chaney as well. I think they've done a great job of managing this. This has not been a problem. It's not been a distraction. Dogs are winning. More importantly, I don't want to disrespect Jake Fromm. Fromm has played well. He's played well. And so because of it, Mike, I think people automatically expect Fields to see more time. He's seeing time when need be. Fromm is still the starter.
And then Fromm made some unbelievable throws last week against Vandy. If you didn't see it, I mean, he's dropping dimes, as we say. Certainly, as Dilfer would say at ESPN. Here's the thing, though, and I'm just be honest with you, perfectly honest, just jealous or envious. I want to see what Fields can do because we're so excited. Yeah. You know, I mean, other teams out there, you know, you're battling for one quarterback. You know, they got two that could start, as do a lot of teams now around college football. But here's the point about Fields. The only way he's going to get in there for an extended period is if Fromm came out and was throwing interceptions and was just god-awful. And there's no indication that that's going to happen anytime soon from Fromm unless you're throwing looks at us like the Steelers did with the Falcons last week.
Last week, Alabama fans are aware of this. Alabama had a package where they had both Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts on the field at the same time. And everybody's going, oh, what is this? And it ended up where Tagovailoa ends up blocking for Jalen Hurts down the field. And then after the play, they're acknowledging each other. My point is, you know, when you have this kind of talent and Georgia's in the same spot, you can do some different things, Mike. But to Alabama's credit and, you know, Nick Saban, they've done a good job of managing that. It's Tua's team. If they're going to win a national championship again, it's all on Tua, and he's been amazing this year. But I say to dog fans, it is all about Jake Fromm. And remember this, in the second half this year, Jake Fromm in the second half of games, 23 for 27 with 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Second half is always when those adjustments are made, Mike, and usually you make mistakes that blow games for you. He's not done that.
Well, let's talk more about what we're going to be doing. I want to say we, in the Royal we. Georgia going about getting after Joe Burrow. You know, the guy has won a big game in Auburn, but then at times we talked about the pressure that Florida dialed up to really get him off the spot and create some issues in the game down in Gainesville. I mean, you're going to send some blitzes? Does Mel Tucker
–
but I think Mel Tucker is kind of – the way that our team approached it, they don't want to have to do. They want to get the pressure from the down line. I mean, Ledbetter is healthy. We just talked about all the injuries on the defensive side, but Marshall had been coming on of late. But Ledbetter, is he going to be a guy that can do that for you?
Tyler Clark and Jonathan Ledbetter are still there. But when you talk about the run game and stopping the run, David Marshall, if that injury it plays a role, that's where they're going to miss him. I personally think you've got to bring pressure against Burrow. He played well against Auburn. You saw it, guys. He made some throws, but he also made some mistakes. And I think the way you force him into mistakes is you get after him. And we've seen, you know, Kirby talk about there's no issue with the pass rush. Remember, that was a big story, at least, you know, storyline the first couple of weeks. Where's the pass rush? Where's it going to happen? And, you know, when they need to bring blitzes, they've done that. But I would not be surprised on the road to try to get him to make some mistakes, because that's really what you're hoping to do, that Kirby Smart and company, you know, Mel Tucker, really come after him.
Well, DeAndre Walker could be that guy, you know, that you're going to see. I mean, he could be the X factor for you. Now, certainly the corners, and it's interesting because you remember the soundbite we played last week? You know you've got really good corners, but they're still going to try it, depending on the – well, is Burrow really a guy who's going to try LeCount, or is he going to try DeAndre Baker? I don't know. I just think they've gotten a little more aggressive. Every week they kind of opened up another page of the playbook.
Yep.
But then they took a big step backwards in the game against Florida. Talk about LSU's offense.
LSU's defense, by the way, they've got a corner. His name, Greedy Williams. And Coach Kirby Smart was asked about Greedy Williams.
Well, he's really a talented player. He's long. He's athletic, able to twist and contort, play the ball in the air really well. I'd say there probably are some similarities between him and our guys and D-Bake. He's been a really good player already and done a great job for them. You know, he kind of takes care of one side of the ball and shuts down a wide out each game, and he's a talented guy. They traditionally had really good secondary players.
So you put him, Greedy Williams, on what, Georgia's best wide receiver, and hope that he can, you know, at least slow them down in the passing game? Because you just heard Coach there talk about it. That's kind of been their strategy. Greedy, you got this guy. He's done for the game.
Yeah, but they got three great wide receivers.
That's
the thing. I mean, there's so much depth right now at UGA, and that's, you know, one thing when you go around and you look at the other teams, you're just scratching the surface. You know, you got Mecole Hardman. Hell, we talked to Calvin Ridley. You got his brother Riley. You know, Demetrius Robinson. All these guys that can go and make plays for you. So if – okay, good. You took him out. out. There's four other guys. If you know, you're going to run five wide receivers out there. But you could definitely throw two other guys out there, and they could make some plays for you. And by the way, when I say I'm envious or jealous, not so much about the quarterback, it's just the offensive line. I watch Florida State, man. They got no offensive line. Georgia's got freshmen that could be better than one of the guys who's been there for 4 years down in Tallahassee. Well, that's how good the depth is at UGA.
It is. And Coach Pittman has recruited well there and done a great job. Remember when they brought him in, everybody said, oh, they're about to get bigger and more physical. That's exactly what has happened at Georgia. Hey, I know there are a lot of fans traveling to LSU. Well, at least 6,000. That's the ticket amount that Georgia got. Here's what Coach Smart had to say about the UGA fans traveling.
They're not going to be giving away home tickets. I can promise you that. So our fan base travels. They've been very passionate. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fans there that may not have tickets that are trying to go. And I think that shows the passion and energy we have within our fan base, and that's incredible. But when you line up out there between the lines, at the end of the day, it's 11-on-11, and that's what we got to keep it about.
It is. I would, my advice and having been in that environment now, it's not a night game. It is different than a 3:30 game, but it's still crazy. Keep your head about you, Georgia fans. You know, those Cajuns get down there and they get to yapping. And if it's a close game, you don't need any violence is what I'm getting to. All right. You don't need to swing on anybody.
No, I think you know better than that. And again, take your time getting there because I'm not sure, for folks who are going to make the run down I-10, there could be some issues after this hurricane.
Yep.
So make sure you give yourself some time to get down there. Nick Brissett, by the way, we're talking about their running game. He's averaging just under 5 yards a carry. So even though he's not getting the hype that Geis got or Fournette got before him, they still got athletes. We all say this all the time. LSU looks like the Steelers when they get off the bus. But is Georgia now? Now, Georgia looks like the Steelers when they get off the bus because they've got some athletes, too. So I don't think you get out-athleted in this one. I think it's just a matter of handling the environment, no turnovers, and do your job. But they are going to get some success running the football against the defense. I just think that's going to be something you're going to have to accept.
No doubt. But I think Georgia also runs the football effectively because no one has been able to slow them down.
Is this a game where Swift goes off?
Possibly. And I'd love to see him get some more carries. Mike, it's almost like they're holding him back.
Well, it's total. I mean, the carries, like, there's one. I think Elijah Holyfield, or he's got one more than the other. Total balance now right now.
It is.
Reminder, guys, the Dog Report brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. We just talked about the storms. Man, it's raging down there in the Panhandle right now. Make sure your home is always protected with a backup generator from BrightboxElectrical.com.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll let you hear what Dan Quinn had to say today and the things that guys are talking about up here at Flowery Branches. We broadcast live at the Branches. The Falcons prepare for Tampa Bay. That's coming your way in 10 minutes. As far as the Dogs are concerned, this is the big game this week as far as CBS. You know, our guy Ness has got the game. I think we're going to get Ness on the show
right on
Friday. But this is the one a lot of people had been looking forward to. Now, if LSU handled their business last week, it'd even have a bigger maybe ripple effect as far as people paying attention to it.
Right.
It's still a huge game. And as we've said, there's still a lot on the line. You know, Georgia guys, and we've talked about this. And, Mike, let's discuss this a little bit real quick. We started the day off, Mike and I were talking about the college football scene, okay? And, with the rankings right now currently, we're about to get to the college football playoff rankings, which are the ones that matter. If you were to say, who are my four teams in right now, obviously you'd have Ohio State, not in any order, Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, right? Those
right.
are your four. But right on the cusp and right on the outside looking in is Notre Dame. And we said this. And, they have a chance to potentially go undefeated. And there's also a chance, when you start looking out west, and we've talked about this, Mike, Pac-12's gotten left out. Big 12's gotten left out. I don't know when you start talking about a one-loss team potentially from those conferences, if they're going to get in over an undefeated Notre Dame, the answer is no.
No, and I don't like a one-loss Big 12 or Pac-12 team is not going to leapfrog a one-loss Georgia, for instance, just because the strength of schedule is so much tougher. And the East has gotten better. Squidbilly brought it up at the end of the show yesterday. I'll throw one little wacky scenario at you.
All right.
Now, Florida, they go to Vandy. They're going to probably win that game, right?
Right.
Maybe. Well, Florida, then Georgia, of course, the cocktail party coming up. Is Georgia has to go to Lexington. Got to go to Kroger Field now at Commonwealth Stadium. That's going to be a tough game.
It is.
And everyone just kind of goes, yeah, Kentucky schmucky, and we'll be fine. No, I mean, especially if Florida's going to play their physical brand of defense. Look, the cocktail party last year was a celebration for Dog fans. I mean, from the first quarter on, it just you knew you were just going to roll. They had no answer for Sony, no answer for Chubb. I mean, they were just grabbing yardage in huge chunks. It's like a video game. I don't think this game is going to be anything like that this year when it comes to Florida.
No, I don't either, and I said this. I think Mullen is probably two seasons or two recruiting classes away from competing again for what might be a national championship or even an SEC East championship to get them back in the championship game here in Atlanta. But, Mike, the deal with Kentucky, and I know some people did not watch this, but The deal with Kentucky is they play tough defense. And remember, Texas A&M moved the ball up and down the field on a Clemson defense that's considered to be one of the best fronts in the country. Kentucky stifled them. And that game went to overtime. I'm telling you, that I know we're going, oh, it's Kentucky. This is a different Stoops Kentucky team that runs the ball well, and they play tough defense. Benny Snell's the real deal, man. Snell, that is.
We talked a lot about how the balance on the offensive battle as far as between Swift and Elijah Holyfield. Auburn's basically doing the same thing with Whitlow and Martin as far as the carries, but the big explosive play in the run game. You know, I mean, four touchdowns from Whitlow, and we've talked about Stidham, but it just there's something missing going on with Auburn. We'll get to more about that coming up as we'll talk college football throughout the week, guys, and we'll preview the big matchups. Auburn catches their breath probably against Tennessee.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
cake, 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 cake. You like cake?
I'd like cake and ice cream, too. Yeah, man, you have your cake and eat it, too, right now. Text CAKE to 72881. If you're just finding us for the first time, welcome to the number one show in town, sports fans, CAKE. In addition to all the cool stuff you get to hear from our guests and everything else, we throw money at you. CAKE, you text the word CAKE to 72881. Listen for a phone call. Could be our guys with $1,000 for you, Dom. Right.
Where else do you get beer, money,
fellowship?
It's all here.
Shenanigans.
Hey, coming up, Coach Quinn tells us he's not upset, but he's certainly not satisfied. We'll explain next. We are live at Flowery Branch. Coming up at 5, the Falcon Report. We're going to let you hear from Matt Ryan here in just a few minutes, talking about not only where this team is, but also facing the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, this show, as we say, is about real life and what's going on, and we talk about a variety of things, sometimes outside the world of sports, and today is no different because, Mike, we were just down there, as a matter of fact, for what is called fall break. A lot of folks in Cobb County obviously are aware of it, and they go down to the beach, but the deal with this hurricane, Hurricane Michael, wow.
Yeah, man, thoughts and prayers going out to all our friends down in the Florida Panhandle and also parts of South Georgia and even Southeast Alabama now because the hurricane just crossed I-10 with still some unbelievably powerful winds. And we were just, Carl and I were just talking off the air because, you know, I've been down there a million times. You spend every summer down there with the family. The one thing, I mean, in addition to the folks that, you know, work in the hospitality business down there. It's real mom and pop stores. I mean, it's one thing, you know, Destin and all the way through, and it looks like Knockwood, Destin's going to come out of this relatively okay. But I mean, Panama City, Mexico Beach just got flattened, and those are real. I mean, small time stores. You know, guys who make their business selling suntan lotion and T-shirts and stuff. And that's just, I mean, your thoughts and prayers go out to those folks, boy, and hope that everybody makes it out safe.
Yeah, no doubt. We were just again, we're watching some of the footage and some of the stuff that's coming in, and we know a lot of folks. Folks from Georgia make their way down there for various reasons, and you know, whether it's summer, birthdays, or whatever. But just give me an update as we watch that unfold. And it's hit land, but it's still the winds are still very, very strong. Hey, man, let's hear from Matt Ryan, guys. As we were up here today, we heard Coach Quinn and his presser. We're going to talk more about this in the 5. Basically, say, listen, we know what we're capable of doing, and meaning we know how we can play. We haven't done that, right? And so, you know, you look at last week, and it's one of those games that's tough to watch because you kind of got beat up all over the field, Mike. You get a punt blocked. You had 6 sacks. You couldn't run the football. All these things, and it's daunting when you go, all right, so what are we going to do? And Coach kind of reassured the media today, and I think Falcon fans, hey, we're going to be all right. We're going to get these things corrected. Now you got to go do it, and you got to do it this week. You can't wait because this is a big one.
But we've been hearing this, I mean, no disrespect to DQ, we've been hearing this ever since the Eagles game. You know, we got on track against Carolina, and you'll hear our conversation with Alex Mack, with Ryan Schrader, with Calvin Ridley, all part of the Falcon Report, as Carl mentioned. But Matt Ryan just speaking to the media saying, you know, hey, man, yeah, we were 0-for-4 and 3rd-and-10. You cannot afford a negative play. You know, you can't have Free or Coleman getting stopped for a 2-yard loss. Anytime you get behind the sticks, brother, we're screwed. I mean, you can't have a 3rd-and-12 when you got Jason Pierre-Paul and, you know, the hamburger helper hand coming off the side and Gerald McCoy and all those other guys because our offensive line is doing the best they can, but it's an average offensive line. And the Steelers, too, looks at them that he had no response for. The adjustments weren't being able to make. I mean, credit to the Falcons. Nobody was making excuses. They're just saying Steelers kicked our butts.
One of the things we kept hearing, at least today, we've heard from a couple of different guys, scheme. They schemed well against us. And sometimes, you know, guys, that's – it doesn't matter how much talent you have on the field. This gets back to, you know, the best team don't always win. Sometimes scheme can play and outplay other teams. And we heard that quite a bit today up here. Here's Matt Ryan talking about staying the course, Mike, because, you know, you can't get all crazy. Yeah, you've lost three in a row, but Matt Ryan says, come on now.
Each team is different. Each year is different. The way you win and the way you lose is different every time. The ability to stay the course and the mindset to stay positive, stay confident, you know, those are all the things that you can draw from. And I think we've got a good core of guys that, you know, have the right mindset week in and week out and are going to find a way to get it done.
Now, you just thought you talked about third down. I want you to hear what he says about first down. Then I want you to hear react to it. You said third downs are certainly, you know, the problem. Right. Here's Matt Ryan on first downs.
When you're in second and 10 plus, it's tough. You know, it's tough sledding. And the goal in that situation is to get it to third and six, seven or less. I thought in the last game, you know, I think we were 6 of 14 on third down and 0 for 4 on third and 10 plus. And so, you know, if you live in that world where you have third and seven or less, you know, we can be pretty successful there. But we can't continue to put ourselves in third and 11 plus. I mean, it's too tough to overcome.
I'm with you. Now, there's one thing, if there's one thing, one little kernel of hope that I can give you for this week. You talked about how bad their pass defense is.
It is.
A lot of guys asked, and I asked Dan Quinn about the zone blitzes, and I said, no, he said the guys just didn't execute. You know, I mean, guys, you know, didn't handle it. You know, and it wasn't like, you know, as you said, it was a combination about scheme, but you guys didn't, you know, running backs didn't pick up in pass protection. All we had talked about, and I heard, you know, Moose Johnson, who's doing the color commentary on TV, saying, you know, it's one thing if Free is going to try to sell play action. Okay, forget it. Just go over and know your responsibility and get over to that side to pick up that linebacker because Matt's going to get killed. So there's some things you just got to have that situational awareness. Here's the good news. Mike Smith, incredibly stubborn, incredibly locked into his style of defense. So remember one year we had Julio with a backup on him one-on-one and rarely getting help. Is Mike Smith going to take what the Steelers did and try to implement it? Well, if history is any indication, no, he's not. So let's hope that we can just pile up the points. Problem is they are really good against the run. So are we going to be able to have any balance in the run game?
32nd, guys, against the pass, giving up 358 yards. If you're Matt Ryan or you're a Falcon fan, you're going, oh, big game for Matt. But you got to protect him.
Right.
You got to protect him. Here's Matt Ryan talking about losing streaks. He's been through them. He understands it. He gets it.
There's always stretches, you know, throughout every season that are tougher than others. And ours happened to be at the beginning, you know, for us right now. And so, you know, the way to get out of it is to put the work in on the practice field to, you know, make sure that we're preparing ourselves as well as we can for Sunday and then to remain confident.
And Stark in the background deadlifting again. Man, he loves doing legs.
Well, I tell you, he's getting prepared mentally and physically, Mike. JPP, what'd you call him? What'd you call him? Meat Man? The Hamburger Helper. Oh, that's it. The Hamburger Helper.
Look, because it's a glove with only like three fingers.
It is. And by the way, he has been an advocate for making sure you don't do fireworks moving forward.
Needless to say, yes.
But JPP, Matt Ryan was asked about facing him. But guys, Tack has 5 sacks for us. JPP leads them in that category.
Fits in well with their front four. For sure. I mean, high-level pass rusher, very physical, good speed. You know, fits nicely within their scheme, too. I thought he's done a good job for them so far.
I never lean over too far when you're deadlifting also, by the way. Obviously, you
hurt your back.
Lift with your legs. But no, man, we know what we got to do, brother. I mean, you and I, we're all sitting here. And Falcon fans, it's funny because guys have been like, you guys need to go in on Monday. You guys better ask Quinn some tough questions. Well, I mean, look, what do you think he's going to say? We got smoked by Pittsburgh. We had no answer for their plans. Our guys, I got 2 blocked punts in the last 3. When's the last time we saw that on a Falcons team? I mean, I know we always joke it's always darkest before the dawn, but, man, it comes down to these dudes doing the job. Nobody wants to hear next man up because the next man up ain't all that great. So you're going to have to be flawless in your execution. You don't have room for penalties, and you got to hope that Tampa Bay does some of the things they've done in the past against us in the passing game. Right? I mean, what part of that have I got wrong?
None of it. I think something has to give. And when I say that, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, where both teams have struggled has been on the defensive side. One team's got to play better than the other one, Mike. Right?
Well, you worried about Jameis getting out in the flat. I mean, Jameis does not want to run, but when he does, he's tough. As I said in the last hour, he's tough to bring down. Are you worried about some of our linebackers, the way we've not been tackling, trying to get the big dude on the ground?
Yes, I am, because we've seen him scramble, you know, for 10, 15, 20 yards, and guys are just falling off of him like fleas.
Was it 2015? He took a bunch of guys for like a 15-yard drag?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Nobody could get him down. Here's what I'm getting to, and then I'll let you hear Matt Ryan talk about their defense, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch talking about the Falcons and their preparation as they start today, really game planning for Tampa Bay. And it's a big division game this weekend at Mercedes-Benz. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They are 32nd, all right, in points per game. 32nd. They're giving up 35 a game. But we're giving up 33. So this is what I'm talking about. Something's got to give. This is not. I don't believe this is going to be one of the games, kind of, you know, Saints Falcons, what we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Somebody plays better. There's going to be some turnovers and some things that happen. That something is, you know, one of these teams is not going to hit their average as far as either we're getting over 35 or they're not getting to, you know, the 32 point or 33 point mark. Here's Matt Ryan on their defensive struggles.
From a personnel standpoint, they've obviously, you know, had some injuries and have some different guys playing. From a scheme standpoint, they've been a little bit different week to week, you know, but they're a defense built on certain principles. And so, you know, we'll be ready for those things and then have to adjust. I think anytime you play in division, there's always going to be a wrinkle or two that they throw at you that you have to adjust to.
Yeah. And it's not like Mike Smith is not familiar with a lot of the personnel.
Right.
Some of the offensive linemen have changed. Yes. But, you know, Mike Smith was here with Matt and he was here with Julio and, you know, Sanu was new, but I think last year I was very interested and curious how Mike Smith was going to play Julio, and they completely blew it in that game. And Julio right. beat the Tampa Bay Bucs basically by himself last year.
Well, Mitch Trubisky and the Bears put up 48 on Tampa Bay.
Right.
So that one was at home. We're at home. We got Matt Ryan. He's MVP caliber. Steelers put 30. Saints dropped 40 on them. You know, in the loss, I mean, in the win, they won 48-40. That was when that was all Fitzmagic, all that was going down. So, as we said, guys, two things to be concerned of. Can we establish the run so we can set up all the things we want to do in the pass against a really brutal secondary? And, by the way, we were talking earlier with Dave Archer off the air about how good Grimes still is. You know, he's still a hell of a playmaker. He's up there. But Hargreaves is out, I believe, right? Banged up.
He is.
So, you know, it's about can we run the ball, maintain the balance, or maybe just like the Bengals, just do the bare minimum of running the ball and going down the field, vertical passing game against the secondary, we should be able to light up.
Here with Ryan Schrader, Calvin Ridley, and Alex Mack had to tell Dukes and Bell coming up at 5. But next.
What's next?
It's Yeah Man, No Man.
Yeah, buddy. Squid Billy time.
Yeah Man, No Man. And our Falcon Report coming up at 5. College football fans join 92.9 The Game and John Michaels this Saturday from 3 until 5 at Benchwarmers Sports Grill off of Claremont Road for a Dixie Vodka viewing party, guys. You can watch college football, the battle going on in Baton Rouge, and hang out with us and enjoy great Dixie Vodka drinks and delicious food at Benchwarmers Sports Grill.
Been there a million times. It is a I know they get mad if I call it a dive bar. It is a fantastic sports bar with great food, pool tables in the back, shenanigans, always a great crowd. So go check it out.
All right, man. The watch party is presented by Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South. Bo Morgan, what you got, man?
Well, I got some stuff. We'll see how you guys like it. Well, the Yankees were finished off last night by the Red Sox.
Thank which God.
Was some, it was a very exciting game. It was nothing like the game before. And Ron Darling, the TBS analyst for the game, had some harsh words for the Red Sox. So at one point, they were up 10-1, and one of their guys took off and stole second base. And Darling said, I found that unusual, but you could still keep pushing the envelope. But boy, swinging 3-0 in the seventh with a 10-1 lead, there used to be a book. There's no book anymore. Everything's gray. But I would find that offensive personally. Now, we know that Major League Baseball put out the let the kids play and kind of poo-pooing, I guess is a word we can use, the unwritten rules of baseball. But Darling had a problem, and he said multiple times, look, they're just trying to run up the score, and I don't like it. But that's your rival, regardless of it. And it's also the playoffs. You got to score many points. So you have a problem with running up the score? Yeah, man, no man on your rival.
No, no, no. And by the way, Ron Darling, his broadcast partner, is, take a wild guess, Keith Hernandez. And, and I like Ron. Ron's a good guy, but, I mean, they're so in that old school crap, and it's ridiculous. And by the way, you're playing in a band box, okay? You're playing where Aaron Judge, you get a walk, it's a two-run homer. Anybody, the bat boy, can hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. So no lead is ever safe. It is your arch rival. Crush them. Break their spirit. Do to them what Sam Weiss did with the Bengals to the old Houston Oilers with Jerry Glanville.
Crushed
it. Put a 63 on them. Go for it, man. Yeah. This is, I mean, don't let's cut the crap, Ron. And that's not wussification. That's just the stupid old school nonsense.
No problem whatsoever. I want to destroy my rival. I want to destroy all competition, Mike Bell.
I'm with you right now. I mean, again, and we've got competition. They're just absolute blank clowns. I mean, the management, Carl, I don't take it. I don't take any of this lightly. I never forget. Somebody says something about me. It's in here. Elephant's memory. I never forget, Squid Billy.
No.
Never forget.
Speaking of never forgetting, what did Conan the Barbarian say about what he had to do to your enemies?
Destroy your enemies. See them driven before you. Hear the lamentations of the women.
No problems whatsoever. You have to embarrass your rival. It's just what it is.
Just what it is. Your enemies, see them driven before you. Hear the lamentations of the women.
Hey, why are we doing this? Why do we do this? We do this to win.
Yeah.
We play to win.
I mean,
game.
Carl and I mean, we're number one right now because we take this stuff serious. Now, we might sound like a bunch of clowns, but we do take this stuff serious.
You're damn right we do. Next question.
I don't know where we went. I thought we were talking about playoff baseball.
Ron Darling. Stop being such a blank.
Sorry, Squid. We some people
like
we need to
Ron,
talk to
I mean,
through,
Ron,
through did, back channels here.
Did Ron win any titles? Is Ron a champion?
Ron Darling won the
yes,
he won
did.
A World Series
yes,
with the 86 Mets.
He's a champion.
Guess they never ran a score up on anybody, huh?
He's a champion.
Well the Mets ran a score up on a lot of people in 86,
but
to see, be
but that's the thing. That's what he's talking about. And back then, it would have been a fight.
Right.
But either way, grow up. Kill your rivals.
Maybe he should have went to the Red Sox locker room and said that.
All right.
Could have had a Tim McCarver moment. So Tom Brady, as always, is doing his weekly appearance on WEEI, no matter how bad they make him mad, and he hangs up, and then he comes back. But they were talking about the advancement of the NFL game and how it's kind of evolved, whether it's better or worse, more offensively, and it's some coaches are taking concepts and philosophies that were in college football over the last few years and are using them now. And he talked about it, and he says, look, football was different then back in the day. Now, in some ways, pro football is more glorified college football. In some ways, the transition is more similar than it used to be when it first when I first started. Football is now removing some of the physical elements of the game. It's more of a space game. You see a lot of college plays in the program than when I remember when I first started in the league. So I ask you guys, I mean, do you guys agree with Tom Brady? Yeah, man, no, man. Is the NFL turning into a glorified college football game?
I mean, there's elements now. Heck, we used an RPO for a touchdown to Mohamed Sanu in Pittsburgh last week. I mean, you're going with wideouts. The contact and the way the game is being played, the way it's being officiated has changed. I mean, I don't know if it's glorified college. I think they've always kind of mirrored each other. I think there were elements. Remember the Wildcat? Even that, even granted, it had limited success. The RPO is the flavor of the month right now in the NFL.
It is. There are some elements. I would not tell you all. Matter of fact, there are some elements of college football that I enjoy more than I do in the NFL. But I would tell you that that's just Brady, you know, basically saying that the new rules in the NFL take away from what the NFL once was.
Right.
It's a different league from when he came in, and it's certainly a different league from 15 years prior to when he came in the league. So, you know, we know this. It's a changing game and more about safety now than it's ever been. And because of that, it's just not the aggressive nature that it once was where you wanted, let's be honest, you wanted to see people injured. You wanted to see people's heads taken off and get blown up. That was what attracted us to the game. They're trying to bring us back to a more stable situation where guys are not as hurt and the quarterbacks, Mike, don't get injured as much.
Well, I mean, you think we're going to see you and I, if we're hopefully working, maybe we're working at a rest home, but Pat Mahomes is going to be passing Drew Brees someday, or, you know, Mitch Trubisky is passing Drew Brees someday for 80,000
yards. Let me tell you something, Bell.
Could you imagine being at home with Mike?
We've been in this damn home for 10 years
here
now.
Here we are. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Talk live from Shady Acres in Naples, Florida.
Let me tell you something. These damn kids.
I can't believe how much they charged me for Metamucil.
You know, I don't know, but I find those comments interesting, but I just think Brady's taking a shot at the NFL without saying what
or Jared,
he really,
you know, I said
Trubisky, really wants to say.
Jared Goff, Mahomes. I mean, think about where they'll be. Because if this league, but to Squid Billy's point, it's easier now for Drew Brees to get to that number than it was for Dan Marino, than it was for Joe Montana, than it was for Dan Fouts, than it was for Johnny Unitas or Joe Namath. The trend to more offense and passing happens every generation.
Well, and I'm going to say this, and I know we talk a lot about our cornerbacks, right, Rocky and True. But guys, you know, there was a time in the 70s and 80s and even into the early 90s, you could hold, scratch,
Right. Do anything you want to do to these wide receivers, and they still had to find a way to get open. Right. That's why I will always think that Jerry Rice is the GOAT when you talk about wideouts, simply because guys tried to do everything they could, and then there were times guys took hits on Jerry Rice right. that you couldn't even attempt to do now.
Great point.
So that may be the hardest position to play simply because you can't do the things you used to be able to do. Bo Morgan, yeah, man, no man.
You go watch Jerry Rice's film, and he never was anyone anywhere near him somehow. Anyway, so these two stories, I swear, are not related, the next two in the order, but they sound kind of weird. So on a flight from Orlando to Cleveland, they had to deplane it, and the word that surrounded this was there was a woman on the flight that had those emotional support animal, oh, right? Crap. Which is normal. You know, you got a cat.
No, man. Whatever this is, I say no, man.
Well, hold on.
No. Support animal.
This woman's support. Just
take
hear
a
the
bus.
Story out. Hey,
take a bus.
You already sound like you're in the home. Okay?
Take a bus. Support animal, Mike.
All right, Carl, this is just for you because the angry old man over here.
I'm out.
Yes. A service animal.
Her service animal,
yeah.
was none other than a squirrel. Now, the reason they
had... with a bushy tail.
The reason they had to deplane was they ordered the lady off the plane because a squirrel is what?
It's a rodent.
It's a vermin.
It's a rodent. And there is actually a policy with no rodents on planes.
So they had to deplane
because of it? So how does Krzyzewski fly?
They had to deplane because of it?
They deplaned because it turned into an issue.
Oh.
And you know how these things happen. Now everything's a security risk, and especially a flight, and rightfully so. So
don't mess up my flight, man. I'm ready to go.
So yeah, man, no, man, having an emotional support squirrel.
No.
I'm going to tell you, I had an incident like this happen last year during the holidays. We were traveling.
Yeah.
And we get to the airport. And there's a gentleman, God bless him. There's a gentleman out there, and I don't know what his situation
right.
is. And he's trying to get his animal checked in.
Okay.
I'm being serious. And you guys know how Hartsfield is. I mean, it's right. bananas, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
the TSA lines, it's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And this guy's outside trying to get his service animal checked in. He gets into an argument, all right, with the guys that are trying to check his bags in because they're like, sir, you're going to have to go inside. We don't do that out here. And he's like, but this is a service animal. And the guy loses his mind, Mike. And we're sitting there like, what is going
right,
on?
Right.
So he has to basically wheel his animal inside. It became a big ordeal. Here's the deal for me. If you have a service animal and it's a dog, I'm okay with it. If it's not a dog, I'm not okay with it.
No, especially for veterans and guys who are going through post-traumatic stress. I mean, there are people that it is a real valid need. And then you've got people that are just complete maniacs, and you're carrying ferrets and turtles.
Who the hell has a squirrel as a service animal?
And then you want to bring your alpaca on and your llama. Get out of here, okay?
Clown show. Don't screw up my flight, man.
Yeah, damn right.
Coming up, Mike, I don't know if we realize this or not, but there was a running back who did not practice today, and he has a new injury. We will explain in our Falcon report.
I'm going to go check on my service goldfish.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.